Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Thank you, young people. All of you who labor so much in the music there, it sure is a blessing to our hearts. For some of us, we're going to have to get to heaven before we can sing in tune like that. So, amen. Acts chapter 4. And Brother Reese, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Acts 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were what? Unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had what? Been with Jesus. So tonight, to Kelly and Brother Joe and Brother Jesse, as you graduate from Bible Institute tonight, we congratulate you for work well done, and you're to be commended for that. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 19. Proverbs 13, 19. Thinking about a course set before you and coming to the conclusion of it. Proverbs 13, 19 says, the desire accomplished is what? Sweet to the soul. But it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. So, you know, the world goes on in their foolishness and in their unbelief, but you have applied yourselves to this course of study, and it's sweet to the soul to finish it. And so we have a piece of paper to give to you tonight, but more than the piece of paper, it's just the sweetness is having finished the course that was set before you. But back in Acts chapter 4, the priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees did not consider the apostles' training as real training. Notice it once again in verse 13, Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what? Unlearned and what? Ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled. So what is really amazing is that they would call the apostles unlearned and ignorant men when they had walked with Jesus. I mean, you talk about walking with the creator of the world. Who has more wisdom than him? No one. It would be amazing, wouldn't it, to be able to have walked and talked with Jesus Christ and ask him any question. Of course, we can ask him any question right now. We just might have to do a little research to find it. But they got to hear him when they ask him questions, actually tell them so. But they did not consider that as legitimate training. Walking with the Son of God, it's amazing. But one thing, which I'd like us to think about tonight, was this. Even though they called them unlearned and ignorant men in verse 13, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had what? been with Jesus. So, you know, more than pieces of paper, more than trophies, you know, sometimes you get trophies and plaques and all kinds of things, and I'm not downplaying any of that for work that's well done. That's fine, deserving of it. But the bottom line is what will people know us for in our lives? Will they know us for how many pieces of paper we have on our walls? How many certificates we have for exceptional work? How many trophies we have? How many engraved plaques we have? As I said, there's nothing wrong with them. But what I'm thinking of is people in my life. How do they know me as? When I think about that, the greatest compliment, even though they were critical of their time of training with Jesus, the amazing thing is they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And Kelly and Joe and Jesse tonight, you know, more than any honors we could give you, and you're deserving of honors for all of your work, but more than that will be that people see that you walk with Jesus. That will be the crowning achievement right there. So I do pray that God would richly bless your lives and that people would see that. Notice it'll be in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. For all of us, Matthew chapter 5. What does the Lord have for us? And Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew 5, 13. Ye are the what? The salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So as Christians, we want people to know that we are Christians. We want to be salt. And then it goes on to say, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. And we don't want to be hid. I mean, we're not trying to show ourselves, but we do want to show forth Christ. We want others to see him. So I pray that people could see that in all of us. And so to Kelly and Joe and Jesse tonight, first of all, I'd like to thank you for the joy you brought to my heart because of your desire to learn the Word of God. What a blessing it is. Notice in Acts 17:11. Your Bible probably falls open to the spot. We go there so often, but that's a good thing, not a bad thing. In Acts 17:11, the Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with what? All readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So I'd like to thank you three for being in different classes with that readiness of mind, for that desire to grow, to learn. Readiness is defined by Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary as prepared mentally or physically for some experience or action, willingly disposed. Willingly disposed. I don't think, Brother Steve, probably you didn't probably have to twist their arms, did you, to make them come? Now you get to class, you know. Oh, Dad, I don't want to. You're going. No. I just appreciate your sweet spirits, your desire to learn. And that's one thing that must never stop with all of us, that desire to learn, to come with a readiness of mind. I pray that which you have shown, I pray that will never leave you. Notice in Proverbs 16:23. Learning has a lot to do with desire. Have you ever taken a course in elementary school, high school, college level that you really didn't really want to take? I had to take some classes like that, like psychology, like philosophy, In philosophy class, we covered such deep questions like, if a tree falls in the forest, did it make a sound if no one was there? Wow, that's profound, isn't it? I did not enjoy philosophy class. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise, what? Teacheth his mouth, and what? Addeth learning to his lips. So Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, this isn't the end of learning, is it? It's just the beginning. It's just whetting our appetite for it, to keep adding learning to our lips. Notice in Psalm 119:18, Psalm 119 and verse 18. What a prayer this verse is. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold what? Wondrous things out of thy law. You know, it's wonderful to be able to sit and learn, but I know the things that you find, and it's kind of like with me, I've probably heard them before but forgotten them, but the things I find in my own Bible reading and study are so exciting, and I know it is with each of you too. It's like, oh, I didn't notice that before. That's exciting. It just shows the living Word of God. So I want to thank you. It's been a joy to be able to teach you because you have a desire to learn. Number two, thank you for the joy you brought to my heart because of your desire to live the Word of God. It's one thing to learn what the Bible says. It's another thing to live it, isn't it? It's one thing to know what God wants us to do. It's quite another to do it. And I commend you for your love for sacred music, your love for holiness and modesty. So thank you for the joy you've been to my heart because of that. Notice in 3 John verse 3, 3 John verse 3, you know, in a church, that is what is so important, is getting people that want to learn, and then when we all learn to live what we've learned, that's what's exciting, because otherwise what we become is, we become a stumbling block otherwise to people who get saved, because they get saved and they'll read something in the Bible and they'll say, boy, it seems like the Bible says this or that, but doesn't seem like anybody follows that. So that's where we come in. If we are godly examples, we can be a great blessing. In 3 John verse 3, 3 John verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, what? Walk in the truth. So it's not just learning, it's living it. It's not just talking it, it's walking it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And you've been a blessing to my heart as you have walked in the truth. Now, but now what? And I can remember when I graduated from high school. It was kind of bittersweet. I was kind of like Brother Steve testified yesterday at Ethan's graduation. When I was in high school, I did not apply myself like I could have and should have. In high school, we had many elective classes, and on purpose, I took the easier ones. I took the shop classes and things. That was my interest. You know, the counselors were saying, "Now you need to take classes that will prepare you for college." And I said, "I have no desire to go to college," and so I didn't take any of those classes. So then, when God called me to start some training for the ministry, they said, "How's your English?" And I had to take a test, and they said, "Well, you need refresher English." Okay, that was in Grand Rapids. And so I did a year of college there, and then I moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they say, "Well, we need to see how your English is." So I had to take another test, and, oh, we see you need refresher English. So see, I really have taken a foreign language. It's called English. So, yeah. So, what's next? What's next after this point? Well, you've heard it said many times, it's a commencement. Commencement means beginning. It doesn't mean end. It means beginning. You commence. When you commence something, you start to do something. So that's what it is. So I'd like to encourage you, Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, and I think you've already done this, but and for all of us, let none of us give God a list like this with writing on it and saying, okay, God, I'm willing to do any of these things. But what's wrong with that? Nothing on there might have been on God's list. So what we need to do is give God this kind of list, don't we? And let him do the writing. God, what do you want me to do? You write down there. God, for a picture of my life, I'm not going to start to draw it. You draw it. What do you want for my life? Let's look at Romans chapter 12. So, Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, and all of us. You know, really, that's kind of a daily thing, isn't it? It's, Lord, what do you want me to do today? It's not, okay, Lord, I'll do this, 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 or this for you. What do you want? Well, we might not get an answer. It might be like King Saul. There might not be any answer because nothing on there might be his will. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. So that's it. Lord, I'm presenting my body to you. What do you want? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. You know, God can give us our requests, but send leanness into our souls. We don't want that. And the older I'm getting, the more I see. I just want God's perfect will. I don't want to get in the way of what he really wants. I want to know what he really wants. And so that's why we read the word of God and pray. But notice in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, Philippians 2, 13. The Bible says, for it is God which what? Worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And sometimes his working is not something we would have chosen. I think I told you this maybe a week ago, but we were at the pharmacy at Meijer waiting in line, and there was quite a few cars in line, and someone was in front of us, and they were kind of slouching way down in the middle of the car. You could see the person's head between the seats. And so I figured they were fiddling with the radio or something. Well, so the line finally moves, and I don't know why she had her car in reverse, but she did. And so when the line started to move, she pressed on the gas and started coming our direction. Well, one thing they don't do well on cars today, I don't think, is put the horn in an easy place to get to it. Well, some of our cars, it's like you got to know the exact spot on that whole padded steering wheel to push. There used to be on cars like a ring. A lot of cars had like a chrome ring like inside of the steering wheel, and you could press that thing anywhere and the horn would honk. Now it's like, okay, you're in traffic. You're trying to watch what's going on. You need to beep your horn. You don't have time, and it's not really wise to look down. Now, where do I have to press? You know? That doesn't work too well. Well, I could not get to the horn before the lady bumped into us. And that's not what was on my agenda for the day, but that's what happened. But so I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? There's a lot of people in life going the wrong way, isn't there? They don't know the Lord. They're going the wrong way. So it was an opportunity for me to get out of the car, walk up to hers, and tell her, you know, ma'am, I started to say that, ma'am, sometimes in life we, and she said, did I hit you? Yes. And so I started it again. Ma'am, sometimes in life we get going, I am so sorry, she said. And three times she interrupted me. And finally, I said, ma'am, sometimes in life we're headed the wrong direction. And so it was an opportunity to witness. And it really didn't hurt the car. I mean, it got bumps and scratches on it anyway. But so it was an opportunity. So I was just praising the Lord. Now, my idea of a good time is not waiting in a long line at a pharmacy. But you know what? It was worth it to be able to witness to that person and to actually say something unusual to her. And I just pray that God would work in her heart and she would be saved. So I'm rejoicing in that. It wasn't a picture that I would have painted. It wasn't a plan I would have planned. But God's way is perfect. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, you know, you may face some things that are surprising. And it might not have been on your plan. But rejoice in the fact that God wants to use you and work through you. And so just, you know, we have a wonderful thing God gave us called a mind and an imagination. And, you know, it's so wonderful to get that thing trained to use for God. Like, okay, here's this situation. How could I turn this into a witnessing situation? And just constantly looking. We have a relative now that is a shoe designer. Right now, the specific thing they're working on right now is cowboy boots. But I told her, I said, you ought to design some gospel shoes based on Romans chapter 10. And you know, if we would put on our gospel shoes before we leave the house, then we would be looking for those opportunities to witness as we walk. So, Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, and all of us, let God do the writing on the tablet of our lives. Notice in Exodus 24 and verse 12. For all of us, may God be the one doing the writing. 24:12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments, which what? I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And then notice in Exodus 31, verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with what? The finger of God. Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, and all of us. Wouldn't you just love it that if people could see that it was God's hand upon us, that it was his power writing the story of our lives, showing us what to do. Could any of us write in stone, and I don't mean like sandstone or chalk stone. Could any of us write in stone with our fingers? No. But God did. What we would need is a hammer and a chisel, or maybe a Dremel tool, or I suppose Brother Jesse could do sandblasting into stone. I don't know how deep, but we would need some tool to do it. But God did it with his finger. And I want to encourage you. Our weeks recently, and you know, have been very busy. But you know what? I just rejoice in God's strength and peace. You know, about the time I would think and say, Lord, I just don't have enough time, or Lord, I can't do it. When I come into situations like that, I keep thinking of Moses. When Moses got to that point and said, God, it's too much for me. I can't handle these people. What did God do? God took of the Spirit he had put upon Moses and put it upon how many men? 70. 70. God had given the spiritual power to one man, Moses, that when Moses said, I can't do it, he said, okay, I'll give the power that I've had on you all along. I'm going to have to divide it up among 70 men. And I think, no matter how tired I get, I think, you know what? Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, God will never ask you to do more than what he will give you the power to do. So just rest in him. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. What a promise this is. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that what? Calleth you, who what? Also will do it. And if you think with me about the blessed stories that are the most beloved stories in the Bible, with all of those situations, it's not, the details of it is not something that any of those individuals would have chosen. And yet, in their lifetimes, and as we look back on their lives are the most blessed in the Scripture. One of them was David. Notice in 1 Samuel 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and verse 1. 1 Samuel 16, 1. I'm not near going to get through this, but Brother John, your graduation was 2 hours and 20 minutes, wasn't it? Okay. Is that okay? I'm not going to do that. I know you watch John Sears, so I'm not going to do that to you. 1 Samuel 16, 1. 1 Samuel 16, 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Well, so in verse 5, Samuel goes there, and verse 5 says, and he said peaceably, and it, because that was the question that was answered. Well, let's read verse 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And let me just pause here for a moment. Was Samuel's an easy life? His mom prayed and prayed for a child, and God gave her a child. And what did she do? As a little child, she took Samuel to Eli. Now, Eli was old. He had sons that were priests that were not even saved. It was kind of a corrupt, hedonistic atmosphere. By hedonistic, it was the love for pleasure and food. They were eating the fattest of the sacrifices, and it was a bad situation. But think of that. As just a little tyke, when Samuel is weaned, he is taken to the tabernacle. And he doesn't get to be with his mama or the other children then that are born, his siblings. He's there in the tabernacle. So God greatly used him, but it was an unusual life. And so we're looking at David here. It's going to be the same thing. And so in verse 5, and he said peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his what? Sons. And what? Called them to the sacrifice. So he sanctified Jesse and his sons. we assume all of them. And he called them, we assume all of them, to the sacrifice. But guess what? How many of you here tonight are the youngest sibling in your family? Anyone? Okay. All right. Sometimes in being a younger sibling, there's questions like, but why don't I get to do this? Or why don't I get to go here or there? Well, because you're too little. Someday you'll get to do it. But why? Why can't I go? Well, what we find here is that, you know what? Jesse, I guess, didn't know of anyone else to keep the sheep. So guess what? Even though David was called to go to town and sanctified, he didn't get to go. He had to stay home and watch the sheep. You know, Jesse had to leave someone. And I guess Jesse just assumed, well, if he sanctified all my sons and he's going to call one of them to do something, it's obviously not going to be the youngest. So I need somebody to watch the sheep. So, sorry, David. Hey, that fits, doesn't it? David, you're the youngest. Sorry, David, you got to go back home. David, you got to watch the sheep. Is that okay? No. We've got sheep across from our house. Wouldn't you like to go watch the sheep? But much to Jesse's surprise, he left the wrong son home. He might as well left the oldest one or one of them home. And we're in 1 Samuel 16 here. Trying to save some time here. Verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. It's like, Jesse, I sanctified all your boys. I called them all to come. Why did you leave them home? Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, what? Arise, anoint him, for this is what? Is he? Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So David is anointed to be king. So it's kind of like graduation time. All right. This is a great promotion. So he's anointed king. But what happens? Well, we're in chapter 16 here in verse 13. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a what? Mighty valiant man. So sometimes, you know, in Sunday school material, we see, you know, David kills the Goliath, this little boy, kills this giant. Well, I want you to notice there, it describes David as a mighty, valiant man. And a what? Man of war. He was no weakling. And prudent in matters. And a comely person. And the Lord is what? With him. There it is again. Isn't that what all of us really want? We want people to know that the Lord is with us. And we want him to be with them. We want them to be saved. That's what we really want. So what happened here? Verse 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them to David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. It came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, the Bible says here that King Saul greatly loved David, but I want you to think, David is what? He's anointed king. And so the next day, so Kelly and Joe and Jesse, you know, tomorrow, are you going to be sitting on your thrones? You know, the graduation day, David wasn't sitting on a throne the next day. In fact, he was called to be the musician for the king, to play for the king when the king was really discouraged and depressed and troubled. That probably wasn't in David's plan. And then he became the king's armor bearer. And so then war comes along. You look at chapter 17 in verse 17:13. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. Verse 14, and David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. Verse 15, but David went and what? Returned from Saul to what? Feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Wait a minute, Dad. Remember back when you made a mistake? Remember when Samuel sanctified all of us boys and called all of us to come to the sacrifice and you thought, they'll never choose you, so you sent me to feed the sheep. Remember, Dad, how Samuel called me to go and anointed me to be king? Well, what happens now? So he's just been called to be the king's musician. And when a battle comes along, what happens to him? He gets sent back home. Now, put yourself in David's spot. Hey, did you forget I had graduation day? I'm anointed to be king. And the battle, war starts, and you're sending me home? Remember what we read about him? He's a man of war. He's a valiant man. Why are you sending me home? Because I'm the youngest? So he gets sent back home. And then as the battle is going, and then his dad sends him to take pledges of his brothers to see how they're doing and take cheeses to the captain. And what is he becoming now? He's a messenger boy. Wait a minute, Dad. Did you forget I'm anointed to be the king? And they sent me back home like I'm a little boy. And now you're sending me to be a little messenger boy. And I've got to get pledges from my brothers. Like, do you not trust me that I'm going there and that I'm actually going to talk to them? This is what David faced. He faced a lot of things that he never would have dreamed once he was anointed to be king. But God used him in a mighty way to kill Goliath. He had to talk Saul into letting him go in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But in verse 42, 1 Samuel 17:42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And this Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is what? A God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is what? The Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So, Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, and all of us. You know, when we have our graduation days and accomplish different courses and things in life, we still, the next day, have to be humble servants, right? That's what David had to be. He still had to be a humble servant. He had to play for the king when he was troubled. He had to be his armor bearer. And when something important happened, like war, he was disappointingly sent back home. And when he comes then to the battle to be a messenger boy to see how his brothers are doing, his oldest brother tells him he's naughty. You know, would you just come to see the battle? Who'd you leave those few sheep with anyway? So he had to endure all of that and many more things we don't have time to cover tonight. But I want you to know, Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, and all of us, that the battle is the Lord's. What is our part? Our part is, no matter how many accomplishments and honors we receive, God still looks for a man after what? His own heart. And that's what we need to be. And I thank the Lord that you've shown those attributes in your lives. And I pray that the Lord would help you and bless you in your lives. Just in closing, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And verse 6. 1 Samuel 36. 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Those days might come. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David what? Encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So your course of study has been this book, and that's what will keep you going. Encourage to be encouraged in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray you'd help all of us. We know that what you're looking for are your children with servants' hearts. And we know, Lord, that sometimes, like David, he was tested. He was greatly honored by being anointed to be king. But then he had to spend some time just being a humble servant and not getting upset about it. And we thank you that you saw David's humble heart and you greatly blessed him, and you did greatly use him. But it was not David exalting himself, it was you. The battle is the Lord's. I pray that you would bless Kelly, Joe, and Jesse, and Lord, all of us. Please may your hand be upon us. It was your finger that wrote the Ten Commandments in that stone. And Lord, we want your hand to be upon us to show us your perfect will, that we might be used of you and to be a blessing to our generation and the generations to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to 331. 331. This song, it kind of tells the story, really, of what God desires for our lives, is to be a channel. Let's stand as we sing, Invitation Open, as God leads tonight. 331.
Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready to receive you? Make me a channel of blessing today. My life was a sin.
Verse 3.
He shall light a channel of mercy. It's a day which will have for him. And he spoke the word of salvation. It was for dying his day.
Verse 4.
We cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from the sin. We are barriers, we are hindrance to those we are trying to win. Maybe our channel.
The Lord. Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. We do pray for these that are graduating. Mm-hmm. God, you be very real in their lives.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for their accomplishment.
Amen.
Father, we do ask that you would help each of us to be a channel of blessing for you.
Yes.
Father, just guide and direct now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Okay. Well, our graduates wanted to keep it simple. Not a lot of formality to it. So we're trying to honor that tonight. So, okay, if we could have Kelly, Joe, and Jesse come up here at this time. Okay. All right. Okay, we'll kind of get you on an angle there so everyone can see you. Okay, all right. So for Sister Kelly, Sister Kelly was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Born again at 4. And so we congratulate you, Sister Kelly, on your accomplishments. And the graduate of theology degree with highest honors. God bless you. Amen. And let's see, Brother Joe. Brother Joe was born in Lakeview, Michigan, born again at 5 years of age. And so, Brother Joe, the Bachelor of Bible, with highest honors. God bless you. Amen. And Brother Jesse was born in Truefant at home, born again at 6 years old, and a Bachelor of Bible, with highest honors. God bless you, Brother Jesse. Amen. While you are still standing there, I'm going to ask Pastor Jeremy if you would pray for the graduates and that God would bless them.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the day. We do thank you for this opportunity to honor the graduates and, Lord, just the investment that there has been. Lord, the study and just the desire to draw close to you and to be knowledgeable of your word. Just ask, Lord, that you would please give them direction as they go forward. And Lord, we do thank you that you do desire to guide us and direct us day after day and day by day, moment by moment. And so, Lord, as they just go forth, Lord, that you would just continue to be that the lamp and the light that they need as they draw nigh to you, Lord, to seeking your will with all of the issues of life. So, Father, I'm just asking you to protect them, Lord, in their testimony. And Lord, that they would just always give you the honor and the glory.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Okay, just a few announcements here then. Okay, if the Lord tarries, is coming this week. Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7, and Saturday witnessing at 10:30. And tonight you're invited to a fellowship in honor of all the graduates. Let's see here. So we've got Brother John, who's one of the graduates, Sister Elizabeth, okay, and Brother Andrew. And so we've got Ethan from high school, Brother Joe, Brother Jesse, Sister Kelly, from Bible Institute. Did I miss anyone? I didn't know if we could get it in on the sign out front. That was really amazing that we get all those names out there. But we congratulate all of you. So the fellowship is in honor of all of you who have completed different courses of study. So God bless all of you. Okay, if the ushers would please come forward. And Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Thank you, Father, for your love, Lord, us unworthy sinners, Father, and yes. By your transforming power, Lord, that you were willing and ready and that you want to use us, Lord, I just pray that we would be humble channels of blessing for you in our lives, Lord. We thank you so much for the men and women around us, Lord, that have led the example in that, Father, and those that have given of their time to instruct us and be the godly example in our lives, Father. We thank you for them. We pray that you bless them. And I just pray you bless these tithes and offerings we offer to you now. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
We stand for one last song, please. We'll sing number 323. More love to three. More love to thee, number 323. with you. Thank you for that love. Lord, may that love grow sweeter and sweeter to us as we walk with you. Lord, we're just so grateful for all that you've done, for your leading, for your faithfulness to us throughout every moment of our lives. Lord, thank you for this day we've been able to spend in your house praising you, relishing in your goodness, and learning more about you. Lord, I just ask you, but bless the rest of this night, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.